First of two texts this morning from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. It's one of our most sacred liturgical acts, the laying on of hands with prayer. The laying on of hands, the transmitting of and prayer for, specifically the Holy Spirit, at this moment and on this person, done most often at baptism, confirmation, for some at ordination, the setting aside of bishops and presbyters. The laying on of hands with prayer, specifically invoking the indwelling of, in a sense, being a conduit of the power of the Holy Spirit. When we lay our hands on someone's head and pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, we really, really mean it. Doesn't happen very often. It's extraordinarily powerful symbolically, and I think emotionally as well. Child of God, you have been sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, renew and increase in you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we really, really mean it. The laying on of hands with prayer for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That powerful action has also been appropriated in other very specific ways. The laying on of hands with prayer for healing, coming from Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. In ways similar to when the children were brought to him and he rebuked the disciples, he said, "Let the children come to me." He took them up in his arms and he blessed them. He laid his hands on them for healing. We do this in the church from time to time. There are churches that have had, and we may at some point wish to have, a service of prayer for healing, where we specifically lay hands on someone facing surgery, perhaps, or experiencing ill health. We certainly do this in hospitals. Every single time that I have been with someone who later that day, or even in very short order, would experience surgery, we would exchange words of prayer. And typically hold hands or lay on hands and pray specifically that the hands of the surgeon be guided by the hands of God. It would be nice if we had enough faith to lay our hands on the heads or the arms or place our hands in the hands of someone who's suffering and make it all better medically. But we have highly skilled and trained and I believe called people who in effect actually do that. We were awestruck this week as our good friend Gwen experienced an extraordinarily complicated abdominal operation that has in effect cured her cancer. It's amazing to me that someone just like us would get up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, kiss the family goodbye, and go to work and undertake this noble calling to lay on hands for healing. Prayers have been said on her behalf and on many others. The healing art is an amazing thing. We experience the hands of healers, annual physicals, when we go to the doctor for some concern. They lay their hands on us. They push here and poke there and thump like that. And with skilled hands and lifelong experience and learning, they know where the hurt is. And they have insight in how to heal. The laying on of hands for healing. Well, most of us, when we exchange greetings with each other, hold hands or lay our hands on another, it's not as dramatic as a surgeon whose skilled hands remove tumors or put pieces back together. But no less profound, I think, in its own way. The laying on of hands, the exchanging of energy through the touching of hands, in one sense can bring us great happiness. You've watched kids at t-ball games and on the playgrounds. High five. Pretty happy thing, right? Sporting events, other sorts of gatherings. You know, we probably could have done that after the baptism. High five. Yes! No, we're a little more formal than that in Presbyterian churches. We shake hands. And yet, even shaking hands with someone is a... You can't help but at least smile inside a little bit, especially if they kind of jostle you a little bit, or they're one of these kind of people that I can tell a lot about a person just by their handshake, and you kind of... It's a way of connecting with someone we haven't seen for a few days, or a week, or maybe longer than that. Gosh, it's good to see you. Shaking hands. Or, maybe more profoundly, the embrace of a hug. The laying on of hands with an embrace. I like greeting people when they're coming into town and meeting them at the airport. It's a little more of a hassle than it used to be, but when they finally get through that revolving door and get ejected from the secured area, you watch people, they just embrace because they're glad to see you. I'm glad your trip is over. I'm glad you're here safe. Let's go eat. Let's go have some fun. The laying on of hands in an embrace. A handshake, high five. And I know I'm not the only person in this room that remembers as though it were yesterday, and the details of the story is, I'm sure, unique to us all. I remember it as though it were yesterday, the first time the cutest girl in seventh grade let me hold her hand. I will never forget it, and neither will you. The laying on of hands, a powerful source of happiness and enjoyment. So also, I think, there are powerful images of hope. The exchanging of, the laying on of hands, the holding of hands. You've seen an older sibling, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old perhaps, for the first time, have been placed in their hands their infant brother or sister. Have you seen that? The first time a child holds an infant. There's a little trepidation there, but the laying on of hands, it's exciting. There's hope in the thought of it. All of us, the next time an infant is placed in our arms, do we not feel just a little bit more hopeful about the future? My favorite part, holding an infant for the first time, is sort of taking the finger and they'll grab your finger. And there's nothing quite like it. It's an instinct. And I can feel it. And I can feel the hope, hand in hand. Were you watching the game last night? The eighth inning? The tying run at the plate? Two outs? Two strikes? Ball three. They cut to the crowd, and there were couples and even groups holding each other's hands, putting their arms around each other, hoping for that third strike. And it was a wonderful curveball. And the Rangers are still in it. Hope held tight. Well, that's not the only place we do that, is it? Over the years, I have sat with countless numbers of people in surgical waiting rooms, waiting for news, for what the healer's hands have been able to do, or in some instances, been unable to do. There's an odd sort of etiquette in surgical waiting rooms. If everything's gone very well, the doctor will typically come into just the general area, sit with the folks in full earshot of other people and say, you know what, everything's great, everything's fine, and everybody is very pleased and happy about that. Occasionally, you are summoned into a conference room. That's generally not good news. And every time that's happened, when I've had really the privilege and the honor to be a part of those moments, we're all holding on kind of tight. We're holding on kind of tight for a word that may not be what we had hoped for, but nonetheless holding on to hope, hope in the face of hope. And we hold hands to make that happen. Those are the kinds of things that couples who choose to be married sign up for. When we hold weddings in places like this or anywhere else, I've held some weddings in some interesting places. One thing is the same. That is, at the moment the vows are spoken, I asked the couple to put the flowers aside, all of the finery and all of the things that go into making the wedding what it is. It comes down to this. Two people looking each other in the eye and holding hands and saying, I promise for this and for all time that you're it. And we hold hands to make it possible. Now, it isn't always true that we're able to honor those promises. And there is some hand-wringing that goes into that, and hand-holding as well. But for all of our successes and failures, there is power in the laying on of hands, in the holding of hands, in the clutching of hands with prayer. I was at the mall a week or two ago and was struck by what I considered to be a very powerful image of hope. There are people that shop at the mall. There are also people that exercise at the mall. The mall walkers. You know what I'm talking about? Well, we were coming out of one store and heading in another direction, and there was a quite elderly couple, just by the look of it. Not walking very fast, but walking in step and holding hands. I was struck by what I imagine it must mean to someone in a relationship for a long period of time to continue to seek health and wellness, perhaps through exercise, but also to hold on, and to hold on tight, and to hold each other up. The laying on of hands, the holding of hands, the implicit prayer in moving forward at any stage of life. The power of this imagery is carried with us all the time. And I want to give you, sort of as a way of closing this and then moving to the next phase of our worship, a way of remembering and holding on to this. We were taught when we were athletes that when we were to check our pulse, to use the tips of our fingers rather than our thumb, because the tips of the fingers don't have an artery going through them, as does the thumb. And if you check your pulse with the thumb, it can be confounded by a pulse beat in the thumb itself. There's another little artery right here. I want you, just for fun, just to take a thumb and put it right about there and see if you can feel what amounts to a double pulse beat. Your heart is pushing blood to and through your hands, the hands that we lay on each other for hope and healing and happiness. It is no accident that when God chose to redeem the world, He used the same hands of His Son that took them up in His arms and blessed them to stretch them out on a cross and be pierced where the blood was spilled. And that's what connects our two sacraments. The sacrament of Holy Baptism, the laying on of hands with prayer, the celebration of Holy Communion, where we take into ourselves, metaphorically, the literal blood of Christ, spilled from His hands. The next time you're in need of a little jolt of hope, a smile, or maybe even a prayer for healing, connect your hands, one with another, either your own two hands or with someone else, and feel the pulsing of the blood that gives you life, that symbolizes the blood that was shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sin, for the never-failing promise of renewal. Hold on tight. There is healing in the laying on of hands, and hope and happiness, and of it we make a church. Amen.